Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Here he is, Tim May on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Mr. May, thank you very much for joining us early. I appreciate all your help.
I feel like Danny McBride, man. Y'all keep playing that Eastbound and Down, head on up in trucking.
Hey, looks like we've got some Buckeyes out for this game against Penn State. 10 guys unavailable for the game. Just released a couple hours ago. How's that going to affect the game tomorrow night?
I think if you compare the list, it's pretty much the same guys that were unavailable last week. So
yeah,
then that's probably not going to affect it at all. You can only take 74 on a road trip anyway. You know, the guy that we've all got our eye on there on that list, who's been on it now two games into the 2020 season and the last several games after he got hurt last year, is Marcus Crowley, because you really thought he was going to be a guy that was going to compete for the starting running back job this year. And, of course, they went out and agreed to take Trey Sermon as a transfer from Oklahoma. One of the reasons was because sort of the doubts about Marcus Crowley, I think. So, But other than that, maybe I didn't read it correctly. Who's on there that I should have known about?
No, I think you probably knew, but I just figured I'd throw it out there.
I know, it's like you're trying to scare me, man. Let me just tell you, being on this show is kind of like what I just did. I just cleaned my horse stalls. So now I'm ready to do some more shoveling.
Do you really have horse stalls there?
Yeah, we got three horses, two thoroughbreds and a Morgan.
Tim, I've known you for a long time. I did not realize that you owned horses. I've known you for almost two decades.
Yes, I do.
Well, I don't even know how to transition from that. There's no good way to get away from that one. All right.
Hey, ask me somewhere where I can answer in a negative. Ask me something I can answer in a negative.
Do you like how the Big Ten has handled how Nebraska and the Wisconsin game?
Nay!
There you go.
This is what's interesting about it. When they had their big press conference, when they revisited the thing they weren't going to revisit, remember all that?
And then
Barry Alvarez is pretty much the AD representative spokesman on the press conference and the committee, you know, that finally brought them back. You know, they were all fired up about their 21-day, if you test positive, 21-day deal for players and stuff. You know, now who's looking – who is among those who's looking at maybe revisiting another revisit? Boy, this has been most – this. It's like – I almost said something I didn't want to say there. But anyway, this has been one of the more revisited things in America, and they're going to probably revisit that 21-day deal since 14 days of it were to number one, let you deal with COVID, number two, see if you had myocarditis from it, and then number three, give you another 7 days to get reacclimated to playing football. Meanwhile, they're talking about a team maybe coming off of COVID quarantine for another term. I mean, possibly Wisconsin coming off of total team quarantine on November the 3rd or 4th and then playing on the 7th. So maybe that reacclimation definitely needs to be revisited. I think it will be now.
All right, so let me ask you this. Do you think that Nebraska should have been able to replace Wisconsin with UT Chattanooga? Do you think they should?
Here's why I don't think they should. This is the fallacy in the whole deal is that you think when you have your own conference, you're going to be able to govern, you know, the protocols, et cetera, of who is cleared to play and who isn't. Meaning, you know, from a extensive testing basis, I don't think UT Chattanooga has that capability. Are they still the Moccasins? But anyway. I don't think they're testing anywhere near as extensively, and I may be wrong, but I don't think I am, as the Big Ten teams are, which is basically I think the Big Ten finally changed it to 6 days a week. I could be wrong. I mean, like Ohio State is going to test tomorrow morning at their hotel in State College, and you know, you could have a guy declared out of the game, you know, middle of the afternoon tomorrow, based on how those tests come back. So that is why you wouldn't do that. It's kind of like opening a door into a house that's sort of that you think has been hermetically sealed. Well, we found out with Wisconsin this week that, in fact, the house is not hermetically sealed, and even the head coach got it, just like Jeff Brohm got it for Purdue a week and a half ago. And so to answer your question, like a debater would, yeah, I would let them play this week. I don't think it's because when the game was canceled, I don't think it had reached the protocol or the guidelines that in essence made it a no contest as defined by the Big Ten, based on what you're reading out of Nebraska and even what you read out of Wisconsin. Jeff Patricus does a great job up there covering Wisconsin. So, yes, right. I would let them play another game. Next question.
Okay. Just making sure.
So what is the postponement? Oh, you go, Andy.
Go ahead. No. I was just going to be a wise guy and say, unless it's game six of the World Series, then it doesn't matter. You can do whatever you want. Go ahead.
Oh, you're out of your jurisdiction at that point.
Yes, I am. Go ahead. Yes.
So what does this postponement do for the Ohio State Buckeyes in trying to get into that playoff?
Oh, you mean Wisconsin and Nebraska?
Well, and the fact that Wisconsin's going to miss a couple of games here, which might not make him as mighty of an opponent in the eyes of the voters.
I sound like Bruce Dern in that episode in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood when I said, Nebraska? Squeaky? I don't think it affects them one iota. I mean, you know, you got to figure that Wisconsin's going to be playing, you know, in a week or two, and you still think Wisconsin, if they can get Graham Mertz back, that quarterback, you think they're going to be the favorite still to win the Big Ten West. And to answer your question, Counselor, I don't think it affects Ohio State very much at all.
Yeah, don't you think that Penn State losing last week would probably have more of an effect? Or
yeah,
less?
Oh,
or
do you just think obviously, Penn State, this is for two reasons. Number one, it was to Indiana. And Indiana, by the way, is an improved team. All you do is watch them play. But, you know, they gave up that drive at the end of regulation. You can't. No matter what the kid did by going into the end zone, you can't give up that drive. Plus, you know, all of a sudden, Michael Penix Jr. Was on target, and they took advantage of it. And he made some great individual plays, but I digress. But the point is that tarnishes Penn State. And then on top of it, Penn State doesn't have the white out the night promotion to lean on this week, too. So, you know, you could say that Ohio State going in and playing a Penn State, which only has its fourth string tailback based on the way things were coming down in June, available and coming off a tough loss at Indiana. And number three, not being the atmosphere that you usually run into at Penn State, you know, that win could get discounted by those the august group of college football playoff committee members who have to justify their existence by talking about such things.
Well said.
Did I answer the question?
Quite well, sir. Witness, yes. You're not quite off the stand yet, though. We got a few others.
Okay, go ahead.
So they started Ohio State started a touch slow in that game. Is there anything that we should keep an eye on there involving the slow start against Nebraska, or is that just rust?
Yeah, you know, Ryan Davis kind of talked about this week, and this is true. Ever since I've been covering Ohio State. You can watch one of the greatest games you've ever seen, and not that one was by any stretch, but it is our job to, like, parse on where Ohio State really could have been better. You know what I mean? And definitely they could have been better. I mean, when Nebraska came out of the gate with their two running quarterbacks, but after Ohio State kind of figured that out, their two running quarterbacks offered up two fumbles, which really changed the game, one was a scoop six. By scoop six by seven. I like that, seven banks. And so my point was Ohio State finally got its feet under itself defensively. And then offensively, yeah, it was a sort of a slow start, but they still won 52-17, and that's what matters, you know, most. And, yeah, I mean, they're looking forward to, you know, Ohio State would like to score, you know, every time it has the ball, but definitely the first two or three times it has the ball to kind of set the tone in games. And so that game was 14-14 until it wasn't, until Ohio State scored 24 straight.
Hmm. All right, let me go back to this week's game here for a second. Look, Penn State's in big trouble at running back. Noah Kane got hurt beginning of the game. They were already down Journey Brown, and now they've got to go to this kid Devin Ford this week. That's got to be something Ohio State's going to be able to – I mean, I got to think Ohio State will be able to take advantage of that, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of touched on that a minute ago on this Pete and repeat version of y'all's show. But the bottom line is, yeah, I mean, that's what Ohio State, you know, Ohio State wants Sean Clifford to have to beat them throwing the ball. They want to keep him in the pocket. He's a pretty good scrambler. And like you just pointed out, you know, Devin Ford, poor guy, he's the one who scored prematurely, you know, last week, and everybody's blaming him. Anyhow, and to a certain extent, they're right. I mean, they could have run out the clock or left Indiana with like 10 seconds or 20 seconds to try to go the length of the field. But with that said, you know, your defense has to make one stop in the whole game, couldn't get it done. But, yes, you're exactly right. I mean, I expect them to lean. They still got to keep the ball away from Ohio State's offense. I think Ohio State's offense will be able to move the ball against these guys. I think they'll be able to run better than they did a week ago because Penn State's more of a conventional defensive front when you really look at it, even though they do like to bring pressure on occasion. But, yes, I think Penn State will want to run the ball some. But they may lean on that Pat Freiermuth kid, 6'5", 6'7", whatever he is, tight end. He might be one of the next great tight ends in the National Football League. I mean, he is sort of a mismatch height-wise. Anybody who covers him, whether it's going to be Baron Browning or whether Ohio State will mix things up and maybe put the other outside linebacker, Pete Werner, on him a little bit more, that remains to be seen. But, yes, to answer your question, Penn State – he's in a little bit of a hurt coming into this game.
Yeah. 6'4", or 6'5", 260. 6'5",
260. Yeah, no, but he looks taller. He looks taller. Let me put that away. They always have
TV.
Every other year they seem to have, like, Mike Gesicki, man. That guy, I thought he was totally underutilized, even though he made some great plays for them a few years ago. But they always have that big tight end for some reason.
Oh, Tim May, thank you very much. You know, Olivier Vernon's playing for the Browns. And last week when you said Shane Olivier coming back from appendectomy, that's all I keep calling him over. I just want to thank you for
that. Is that right?
Yeah, every You're time welcome. I want to go say Olivier Vernon's name, I always say Shane Olivier. And that's because of you last week on our show. Yeah. Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
We'll get to get this, though. I mean, on the Big Tone, the Ohio State players teleconference on Tuesday after Brent Ryan Day, they had Haskell Garrett and Garrett Wilson on. That'll really mess you up.
Oh, that's – you didn't give me your prediction.
That was like when Ohio State went to the Alamo Bowl and went and Santonio Holmes and Mark D'Antonio were going to play in San Antonio. You know what I mean?
Oh, brutal. What's your prediction? You got to give me a score.
I don't know. I'm looking at Ohio State in the 40s and Penn State in the teens. That's what I'm looking at.
Oof. Nah, we were hoping it would be a little bit closer than that, but I think you're probably right. And you know what? You're always right.
I think Ohio State might get another cheapie. But you never know about cheapies. If they don't get a cheapie, probably in the 30s and the teens would be a good point. I haven't really zeroed in on a score yet.
All right. Well, I'll be looking for it. Letterman's row.
I think it's kind of stupid anyway, but anyway, to zero in on scores because it's
sure
happens.
But
like last week, Ohio State doesn't get that fumble return by 7 Banks, and they're not in the 50s. You see what I'm saying? You follow my drift?
I digressed on that, too. I even asked you a pressing question during this interview, too. So thank you. We appreciate you. You're a good man.
Hey.
Always.
It is always a pleasure being on with you guys.
It is a pleasure talking to you, sir.
Okay, go back to the lake.
Tim May.
See you guys.
We will. Tim May, North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. You learn something new every day. I didn't realize you had 3 horses. Crazy stuff.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.